music and talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemon.
And good morning to you, and welcome to Intravenous here on Campus Community Radio, CJSF 90.1 FM from the unceded territories of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh. I'm Robin, and I am half the host team for today's show. I'm going to be joined in just a little bit on the air with a longtime volunteer and one of our board members to talk a little bit about the upheaval, the revolution that is ongoing in Iran, and how the women are really taking the lead because nobody else will. But as we kind of ease our way into this big topic and just sort of settle ourselves in for an hour of listening, let's listen to this song. It's by an artist, Farnaz Ohadi, and Gaspar Rodriguez. Farnaz Ohadi is born in Iran, lived in Vancouver for a very long time, and went to Spain recently, where she has been making music and fighting the good fight still. And she and Gaspar did this rendition of a song that is a traditional Persian song. And what they write about it is, since the murder of Mahsa Amini at the hands of morality police in Iran on September the 16th, 2022, Iranians around the world have begun the uprising to topple the current illegitimate regime of Iran under the slogan, Woman, Life, Freedom. The reality is that over 20,000 souls have been arrested and are held in Iranian prisons in the most torturous and inhumane conditions. At least 516 protesters have been killed, 70 of which are children. Thousands more have been gravely injured, sexually assaulted, and kidnapped and disappeared. In a fresh round of retaliation, the government has now chemically attacked over 200 all-girl elementary and high schools across Iran, sending over 2,000 girls to hospital with chemical poisoning and killing at least two. And yet Iranians have not given up. Clinging to their shared cause to seek change, this song is inspired by the sustained heartache of losing so many young boys and girls in the revolution, and dedicated to the empty seats left behind. I'm going to cry. left behind by killed students in elementary, high schools, and universities.
Thank you.
I think that's the last of the music. There's just a little bit of wind playing in the background there. Farnaz Ohadi and Gaspar Rodriguez with a rendition of a song that is called Yar. To start us off intravenous here today, I'm Robin. Hi, Paria.
Hi, Robin. It's very nice to see you and be here this morning.
Yeah. We haven't made radio for a little while, so it feels fun, even though the topic is brutal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like I'm in my element, you know, like I'm here, I'm reading sad things, you know, I'm with you. I'm doing well.
All right. Well, as I prefaced in the show intro, and you know, as we heard in the intro to the song there, which you and I were just talking about, how well you thought that it sort of encapsulated the situation, and you know, maybe other than a few statistics that might be inflated now because it's 6 months down the road, the situation is still so dire, but also there must be a tremendous level of hope because people keep fighting the good fight, And, you know, obviously when lives are on the line and you really disbelieve in something that is illegitimate and, you know, gravely violent, you know, we would all hope that we would stand up and protest.
Totally. Yeah, I think at the beginning of the revolution this time around in, what was it, September of last year, 2022, I was obviously very sad to see so many people dying, so many people being killed. But at the same time, like you said, I was excited that something might be happening, like this might be it, you know, like, oh my God, like this is it. I think for me, at least, like some of that hope is unfortunately dying down. Like it's been a year, and I know that something like this doesn't just kind of, like a regime at this level doesn't topple overnight, but it feels scary, you know, because we had so much momentum and, you know, people have to continue living their lives. I think that in Iran, the protests have definitely died down since the beginning because, you know, they're just seeing like sheer numbers of people being killed and attacked and put into hospitals and their family members. So it's like, well, okay, like what am I supposed to do, right? Like how many more people have to sacrifice their lives in order for something to change? I think also there's a push for Western countries to kind of step in and like, okay, hey, like let's do something. Look at these atrocities that are happening. And when people both like in the Iranian diaspora and also in Iran see that that's not happening, it can be it's devastating. And it's like, okay, well then there's nothing. Like what do we have? Because the government is obviously not going to help us. They're actively, this is why we're here. There's problems. And, you know, other governments are kind of at the mercy of politics and money and oil and greed. So, you know, what can, it's up to the people. It's really like in the song it was saying, it's up to you and me and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a quote that I had shared with Pari, and I was pretty sure that it was part of the lyrics to the song that talked about how nobody else was going to swoop in and save the day, that it really comes down to that idea of community being you and me, and even how that alone is such a feminist notion, you know, where the collective and the power of the people, the power of the collective and the communal efforts of caretaking can make a difference, and obviously have made a difference because they've still managed to keep up a certain level of energy, but at some point the collective does get drained and depleted, right? Just run down. You can only take so much trauma before you need to lie down and rest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think that women have been the forefront of this particular revolution, and not to say that the atrocities that are being committed by the regime are particular only to women, but that it's kind of visible there because, you know, one of the big things that a lot of people kind of like cling to when it comes to this revolution is the mandatory hijab. Like that's something that is physically a representation of the oppression. And not to say, and you know, I even like have pause giving a disclaimer because I think that it's sad that that needs to be said, that not wanting mandatory hijab is not Islamophobic, but that's something that, you know, needs to be talked about in this discussion, because some people, you know, on the Iranian side have a lot of upset and trauma and disdain towards Islam. And so sometimes there are like words that are said or ways that things are conveyed that can be Islamophobic and not fair to other people who wear hijab willingly and who love it. And then at the same time, there are people who will kind of like twist this message and be like, oh, well, are you saying the hijab is bad? And it's like, of course not. You know, it's something that has been systematically used by the government to oppress women. Every single person has to wear hijab. There are non-Muslims in Iran, right? There are Jewish people, there are Baha'i people, there are Christians, you know, the list goes on. And many of them have been exiled. Many of them have fled because they're afraid, because they're not allowed to practice their religion freely. And that's not right. And, you know, everybody should have a choice, including women in Iran. And I think that it's slowly getting there. Like, I saw the statistic today, which was very exciting for me. And I've heard it also from my family in Iran, that something like, yeah, okay, one 2023 report estimates that at least 20% of Iranian women defy Iran's mandatory hijab laws. So that has come after everything that happened after Mahsa Amini's murder. That is new, right? Like, I've been to Iran many, many times, and it was never like that. You might see people kind of like, you know, not fully committing to it and like wearing it kind of loosely, but you never see people not wearing it. And now there's videos and pictures of women all over Iran defying it. And I think that that's beautiful, and they are very brave. Because you never know what's going to happen, right? Like, it's so, like you said, the morality police, there's no telling what they're going to do. Maybe one day it'll be slap on the wrist, the next day it'll be an execution. This morning there was an execution, not of a woman, but of a bank clerk. And there was supposed to be another execution of a woman who was a victim of child marriage. So, and that was postponed. So there's, you know, a lot going on, and I don't know. I just hope that everybody continues fighting and speaking up for what's right, regardless of if they're Iranian or not. That's my hope. But, you know, other things happen. Like right now there's a war going on in Gaza, right? So there's so many things at once, but I think that if we like put our efforts together for everything, my fight is your fight, right? Like, I feel that way about every injustice that happens in the world. So.
So I feel like sometimes just we need to all just breathe together and take a big breath in and take a big breath out and de-escalate some of this crazy emotion that is out there.
I think if some, you know, world leaders just did some DBT and CBT, we'd be a little bit better off as an earth.
Oh my goodness, right? There's another song that I want to play from Farnaz Ohadi. And this one is off of their newest album, which is called Orion, not spelt like the stars, but O-R-I-Y-A-N. And what's quite beautiful about their music is that they've always blended this Persian sound with flamenco. And the bridge between those two things and you know, that interculturality it really is beautiful. But the synopsis of the story and sort of the short video clip that's animated to go with the song is that a woman has to come to grips with the dark realities of her daily life, depression and hopelessness. What will she choose? Will she give up or choose resilience? And part of the lyric in this song is, neither you will remain, neither sorrow. and neither any of the inhabitants of this village. I will swear it by the worries of a bubble by the river and on the fleeting nature of a moment of happiness. You stare into the mirror, and it's staring back at you if you laugh. It will laugh back at you, and if you have a lump in your throat at the mirror of the world, we'll have to manage it. So let's have a listen here on Intravenous. Farnaz Zohari with Orion. Sorry for the technical glitching there. Not sure what's going on, but unfortunate because it was such a beautiful song. My name's Robin. You are listening to Intravenous here on Campus Community Radio, CJSF 90.1 FM. From Simon Fraser University, and I am here with Paria, who's a longtime volunteer and one of our board members. And last night, you had proposed to me that we, I don't know, dive into, talk a little bit about the ongoing protests and the revolution in Iran. And so we've given a little bit of a sort of precursor about, you know, what's going on. But you were just saying that there's a new development now where the government is looking to instill or impart firmer restrictions and regulations. So tell us about that. Maybe I'll plug my ears.
Okay. No. yeah. So like you said, Iranian government are debating a controversial bill that would basically use facial recognition and social media surveillance to identify and punish women who don't observe the hijab as mandated by the authorities. So like we were saying before, Iranian women are mandated to wear hijab regardless of religion, regardless of if they're Iranian or not. If you're just traveling, you have to wear hijab. And since the revolution started in 2022, something like 20% of women refuse in protest. And so this would kind of be cracking down on that, not like they're not cracking down already, because this whole thing started because of Mahsa Amini allegedly not wearing her hijab correctly. So, yeah, you know, like it's definitely scary. I don't know what's going to happen next. Like it's so, the situation is so
volatile.
So volatile. Like you don't know what's going to happen, right? Like I think that the government is afraid because they saw how easily people can mobilize and change things for, like, against them, basically. And so now I think they're cracking down more. You know, more people are going to prison just to kind of show, like, hey, like, this could be you. Like, if you want to try this, like, this is your future. This could be your future. There's also, you know, a lot of fear on the diaspora side, like people like me who are afraid to go back now because, you know, they could hold you for ransom. There's so many things that could happen. You know, you never know. And also there are